ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
Oh, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Welcome in, one and all. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thursday, December 24th. It is Christmas Eve. 2020. Christmas Eve.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Very, very exciting, and we have a mega show today. Mike called it the Santa-ladon. This morning. Jason opened with a jolly ho, ho, ho.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much on today's championship episode of the podcast.
How many matchups are we going to cover?
70.
All right, let's go.
We have Taking It Up to 100, a ton of news to talk about, all 16 games this week. We even have a little something special.
You're a mean one,
we
Mr.
have some
Grinch.
Some Grinch sightings today.
Be on the lookout.
Be on the lookout for that mean one, that seasick crocodile.
He really is a heel.
Starts of the week, boom boom kicker, prop it like it's hot, and by the end of this episode, you'll have won your championship. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, because it's going to take you probably through Monday to finish.
Right, you'll be accumulating points throughout the show, and by the end, you'll be victorious. Now, Mike, back in the studio.
That is correct.
Nice to see you.
I wish I could say the same.
And you can see Mike, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers, mostly Mike. And how are you doing on the tilt meter for this week? Because you have
Oh, brother.
You're in a League of Record championship game.
Look, I was doing actually surprisingly well. I was holding up. But then the more news that comes out, the more difficult my flex decisions have become. It is preposterous that I thought my lineup was set on a Tuesday morning. I woke up, you know, just, I'm fresh,
yeah.
I'm feeling good. It's locked in. I know who I'm going to play. And then the news just keeps shaking things up on an hour-by-hour basis.
And a lot of that has to do with, Antonio Gibson.
I got Tony Pollard. We got Antonio Gibson. We got what's going on with Keenan Allen.
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
A lot of Antonio Banderas tilt this week.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name in a little while.
Like, do I watch Assassins again? I don't know.
Probably. It is the Christmas season.
I mean, a lot of your conundrums are ones that our listeners are facing as well. So,
and they're all afternoon games, so that's great.
All right, it's starting to show through a little bit. I, for one, am not tilting. I'm playing Tom Brady over Josh Allen.
I just want that
to be known.
He's locked in.
He's locked in. Nothing has changed. Nothing has convinced me otherwise. We'll break the game down today. It will have no impact upon me, and I will stay staunch with my right decision, Jason.
We always say, stay solid.
That's one of the sayings from the show. All right, let's take it to 100.
Taking It Up to 100. Presented by Head & Shoulders. Available at Walmart.
All right. I'm very excited.
Yes.
I have tied it up.
Yeah, I could have locked it to at least a tie heading into the final week. And then I was poo-poo Smith-Schuster'd.
Yeah. I had Chris Godwin. Jason had Jeff Wilson. And you had Juju. So now we're tied. Now there are 2 weeks left, championship week and then that extra week that we call week 17.
Are we playing through week 17?
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
Oh, okay.
So the trophy's on the line, Mike.
I thought this was it.
So we have our Taking It Up to 100 players.
There is some banging. I don't know if it's bleeding through the microphone.
There's some banging that we're hearing outside the studio somewhere, and we get a message from Brooks that Santa's on the roof.
Tell him to keep it down.
Well, I know Santa would be pleased with the three of us. I mean, we got the Christmas hats on. Brooks, of course, has his holiday cap on. And then there's one Grinch.
That's right.
And it's Al. Al's wearing, you know, a regular baseball cap.
To be fair, you guys are wearing my Santa hats.
Yeah, we can't afford another Santa hat. You have the company card.
Yeah, that's on me.
All right, taking it up to 100 players for week 16. I'm going with Antonio
Banderas
Brown against Banderas always yes. has it at 100. It never goes below 100 for him.
No, senor. It's too sexy.
been impossible to trust Antonio Brown. One good game in 1 week, one big play last week. But I think in championship week, he's going to take it to 100. In perfect 2020 irony, AB will win you a title.
Uh-huh.
He will take it to 100 with Tom Brady against an atrocious Detroit defense. I like AB this week.
Yeah, no, I like playing around with the Tampa Bay wide receivers. It's hard to be confident in exactly who it's going to be, Evans or Brown, but the matchup is great, and for taking it to 100. I like calling your shot there. I'm going with another great matchup. The New York Jets are who I want to throw the ball against. Mm-hmm. I love Baker this week. And so his pieces should be good.
They should be good.
And you like Rashard Higgins.
I do. And I don't like him as much as, say, Jarvis Landry. I would love to start Landry. He could be a start of the week. But I think Rashard Higgins is someone that you could pick up and have a big game from. Two of the last three games.
Yeah.
Can I just talk about, I'm dying
what
in here.
What is happening over here?
Emphysema, Christmas emphysema.
Do I need to jump in?
Oh, my goodness. My throat said, not today. but two of the last 3 weeks, he's been a top 15 wide receiver. The matchup is great. And if you're, you know, struggling and you've lost guys, I think Rashard Higgins could have a big week.
You know, this is not perfect analysis, but I did play a game of Madden against my son yesterday, and Landry came down with two Hail Marys, so he could have a big week as well.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know the rules here. I always try to go deep on the taking it to 100, because Jarvis Landry will.
No, Jarvis,
he does not apply here.
No,
right?
You would have been vetoed. Well,
right,
I would have let it slide, because he's so far out of the championship race here.
Yeah, I went deep.
All right.
Well,
I like the pick.
Speaking of that, I also did not want to go with a primary option of Amari Cooper from the Dallas Cowboys, but I believe that CeeDee Lamb against the Philadelphia Eagles will take it up to 100 this week. We have Michael Gallup, who's a little bit banged up. Let's track what's happening there. But the last four games, Philadelphia has given up top 12 production to the wide receiver position. The Cowboys have the second highest implied total for an underdog. They're going to score points against Philadelphia. And I think that CeeDee Lamb here burning it out of the slot, I think he can get it done. Take it up to 100.
All right, take your hair up to 100 with Head & Shoulders available at Walmart. Pick yours up today and check out next Tuesday when I take the lead. And
I hope not.
We'll see what happens. I do like that we all have kind of the secondary or third option on each of these teams. It should make an interesting week.
I thought this was it, so I wasn't gonna take a putt in. I'm not laying up.
Right. No.
I'm taking CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, this is big news. The Dolphins activated Carole Baskin off the reserve COVID-19 list.
Carole Baskin.
That's huge news. Because this shifts two players, right? Miles Gaskin is someone you should start. And Savon Ahmed was someone you should have started while Gaskin was out.
Derek Carr practiced fully on Wednesday.
Ooh, my groin.
Wow.
Yeah, so anybody, I think we had a question from someone this week wondering if they could start Marcus Mariota. The answer now looks probably like a no.
This is wild, man. I
did not know this.
I had just moved on. Now. I just moved on from Derek Carr, figuring he was going to miss a week.
You're keeping the Derek Carr news coming, Brooks. We did not know that he was practicing in full. That's interesting. I don't want to play him against Miami.
No, no.
Matt Rule said Christian McCaffrey is doubtful to play against Washington.
Womp, womp.
Not practicing in full, not going to play.
But what if I want him to be healthy and play?
He will be for next season.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe he could completely redeem himself for the 3% of us that made it through without him. Ezekiel Elliott on track to play in week 16 against the Eagles. Mike, Zeke, your Tony Pollard
look, man, Zeke
parade.
Just take a vacation, man. Rest up. Be healthy for that awesome week 17 matchup.
Isn't it weird that if Zeke plays against the Eagles, we're not excited for Zeke?
Correct.
But if Tony Pollard plays against the Eagles without Zeke, we're excited for Tony Pollard.
Also correct.
Probably why Zeke wants to play, so that he doesn't have 2 weeks of Tony Pollard dominance.
Yeah. Mm. The problem, I mean, when you're looking at that from just for fantasy, is you know that Zeke is banged up. And the Dallas Cowboys know that Tony Pollard is good, so it turns into a bit of a timeshare.
For sure.
Instead of just Tony Pollard being awesome.
Yeah, and it could give you some clarity on your start-sit situation. You don't have to have Pollard in the consideration if Zeke is healthy.
Yeah.
Congrats.
The problem is Zeke is going to get hit with a game-time decision, and he's an afternoon game. We all know this is what's happening.
I can't wait to watch Mike the rest of this week.
It's tilt week.
I mean, Christmas is nice and exciting and the kids and all that, but I'm excited for Mike tilt week.
My favorite part is randomly through the day, he hasn't been in the studio, just out of the blue, he just posts in Slack just some message about like, oh no, this guy's, do I start this? This means it's on his mind at all times throughout all days.
Just out of the blue last night at 7 p.m., Gibson, Pollard, Keenan, all afternoon games. Hilton is the morning. All my super high-risk guys are in the afternoon. Facepalm graphic.
This was not in response to conversation. Just
an overflow from Mike's brain.
I am nips deep in this swamp.
Well, let's hope we can pull you out.
Oh, man. I don't volunteer for that job. Tyreek Hill didn't practice on Wednesday. He's been dealing with some hamstring stuff.
It's Wednesday. I'm sure he's fine.
Hunter Henry missed Wednesday's practice with an illness.
It's Wednesday. I'm sure he's fine.
All right, this one's a little more interesting. Kiki QT was limited on Wednesday's practice with a foot injury. It's interesting to me because, you know, Chad Hansen, Kiki QT are both out on the... Mike's tilting again because he has Chad Hansen.
I have Chad Hansen on my team. Yeah. What is happening? Why is the world doing this to me? Just give me my championship.
I've never seen him like
this. No, this is so off-brand.
I've been telling you, this is off-brand for Mike, the stoic Mike.
This is my brand.
Are you small-talking now? Is that where you've gotten to? If you're in an elevator, are you overflowing with your fantasy team?
You got to pump the brakes over there.
Okay.
With that.
If Kiki QT's limited, it could change the decision for
it could.
Chad Hansen's upside this week.
Oh, is he an afternoon game? Please.
Mike, you can take the rest of the show off and worry about your roster.
He's a morning game.
Antonio Gibson gets in a limited practice on Wednesday. That's surprising.
Yeah.
That will have an impact on maybe some confidence levels of J.D. McKissic if that's a start-sit decision you're making between him and other players. The Washington football team fined Dwayne Haskins $40,000 for violating COVID-19 protocols. They also stripped his captain status.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, which seemed appropriate.
Look at me. I'm the captain now. He's going to start. Dwayne Haskins is going to be the quarterback.
You don't think there's a chance Alex Smith is out there?
Okay, so I guess if Alex Smith is healthy, he's the guy. But
he was limited on Wednesday. There's a chance.
But I'm just saying Haskins is not going to be benched. He's going to play.
The worst part is knowing Ron Rivera, knowing what happened this week, knowing where Dwayne Haskins was on the depth chart when Kyle Allen was healthy. The last thing on this earth that Ron Rivera wants to do is start Dwayne Haskins. So if he has to start him, that is just back against the wall, no other options at all. So any other news that we need to talk about? I mean, getting back to the Hansen thing, like if QT was out, Hansen's a good start this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he should be guaranteed enough volume. Obviously, Brandon Cooks would, be a good start as well.
Yeah, what about Jordan Akins?
Nope.
Okay.
Can he catch with his bicep yet?
No. He keeps trying.
Yeah, I know.
All right. We have the fantasy forecast, all 16 matchups to break down. Before we do that, we want to say thank you to our sponsors that keep this show going, keep the lights on, and allow us to reinforce the roof in case somebody's trying to break in.
Santa's not getting in here.
All right. I want to thank Zendesk for sponsoring the show. Everybody out there can relate to horrible customer service stories. I am a cliche. The older I get, the grumpier I get, the less I enjoy waiting on hold and being transferred from some customer support agent to the next one for what feels like hours and hours and hours. Zendesk gives businesses everything that they need to stay connected with their customers. They you can communicate seamlessly across all of your channels, which there are a lot of now in customer service. Email, phone, chat, messenger, community forum, help center, social media. It's what Papa Josh takes care of on this side of things. And Zendesk calls that a conversational experience for your customers. They're connected, ongoing. It's natural customer interactions. That's what Zendesk does. You can see for yourself why the best customer experiences are built with Zendesk. Get started at Zendesk.com/footballers. That's Zendesk.com/footballers.
And, oh, and goodness.
What's happening today?
I think my body is afraid of this show. It's not, you know, it's not prepped. I didn't get a good night's sleep like I do for a megalodon, and my body is freaking
out.
You
were up late?
Yeah, I mean, normal late, like midnight.
Okay.
That's called bedtime.
All right. You're still a young man.
Yeah, but you want to know how I was in my house? I was safe, thanks to Simply Safe professional transition.
Mediocre transition.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. But look, Simply Safe is what we use to protect our studio. We've talked about Brooks, all his riches. He protects it with Simply Safe. They have, cameras, monitors for smoke and fire. They've got arsenals of glass break sensors. You can set it all up. It's super easy. It's high quality stuff, and they have the best monitors in the business with 24/7 protection. So if you need the police or fire or an EMT, you're secure. It's wonderful products. It's yes. been highly rated by everyone. We genuinely recommend it. Right now, you can get a free home security camera whenever you purchase a Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/footballers. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Visit simplysafe.com/footballers for your free security camera today. That's simplysafe.com/footballers.
Fantasy Forecast.
All right, the Week 16 matchups, all of them, each and every one, all 16 of them, about to happen right now, right here. Here we go. We do have one game on Friday, ChristmasFootball.com.
Oh, man.
3 on Saturday, 11 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for championship week.
Happy days.
We hope. We hope they're happy days.
Yes. It is important in this championship week. I mean, we're used to the Thursday night football, get mm-hmm. your players out of the flex, but there's with the games so spread out, if your players are playing early, if you're in those first 3 games, make sure you get them out of your flex so you've got, you know, room, especially this time of year, players could pop up on COVID last minute. You need to have flexibility Sunday morning in your championship game.
Yeah, and when you're tilting, try to spread that maximum tilt out over all 4 days. You don't want it to just really overwhelm one day. All right, let's start with the game that Mike and I will be hoping gets us off to a very nice championship start. Hope it gets you off to one as well. The Minnesota Vikings on Christmas Day taking on the New Orleans Saints, who are 10-4, Vikings 6-8. Saints are 6.5-point favorites. It's a 50.5-point over-under. I'm excited about this game. This is a great Christmas Day matchup. A lot of exciting, relevant fantasy players involved in this game. Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins. It's going to be fun. Dalvin Cook, this is a something's got to give situation. Dalvin Cook has been unbelievable throughout the year, obviously on a lot of championship teams. And here he is facing the New Orleans Saints defense that is one of the best in football, the best in football against the running back position.
It's irrelevant. It's 100% irrelevant. If there's a defense that can shut him down, sure, it could be the Saints. But the two best defenses against the run, by an enormous margin are the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he just played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they did stifle him. He was only the running back 11. He was still a RB1, but he wasn't like top three. And that's kind of what I expect here.
We're going to need a little more.
You're going to want a little more. You're going to need a little bit more from other players, because I don't think he's the running back one on the week against the Saints, but he's just too good. Some guys can't be stopped.
41 opportunities 3 weeks ago, 26 2 weeks ago, 29 last week. He will keep – well, they'll give him the ball, and then it's a matter of playing the odds. Does Dalvin Cook find a way the way that Miles Sanders found a way against the Saints?
I wish he was playing Detroit.
That would be better.
But, you know, whatever.
All right.
You're still playing Dalvin Cook.
Alvin Kamara, you're still playing Alvin Kamara each and every week. He should have a nice week this week. Games without Michael Thomas, 21.4 opportunities per game, including 9 targets. He has Drew Brees back. We should feel as comfortable with standard issue Alvin Kamara this week. Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's an interesting name this week.
I like Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, the last 3 weeks, he's been averaging about 15% of the targets. This was, you know, Drew Brees, if you watch the game, Drew Brees looked a little bit concerned about his body. This was not the normal Drew Brees you see. I believe it was even Romo was calling the game saying, you know, Brees looks shaky, give him some time. So I expect Drew Brees to be a lot better in this game, especially in a better matchup against Minnesota. I like Emmanuel Sanders as a potential waiver wire guy that you could just pick up and throw right into your flex.
Yeah, I agree. And Brees looked so bad to start that game last week. I thought, is this the end? But he got it together by the end. So I agree. He should be better this week than he was last week. Brees is someone that I think you could play. He was in consideration when I was looking at starts of the week because you know, the matchup is there. He's good, but obviously being down Michael Thomas is not a positive in the pros and cons columns.
I can't trust Jared Cook, too, after last week. That seems concerning. I don't know. The opportunity's there. You could take your shot.
Yeah, the opportunity and the matchup is solid for Jared Cook, so that is unfortunate.
Yeah, so that puts you in a position where, I mean, I play Jared Cook over Cole Kmet. I'll play Jared Cook over... Would you play him over Irv Smith in the same matchup?
Yeah. Irv Smith is only in play for me if Kyle Rudolph is actually out.
Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, both in your lineup. No questions asked. For what it's worth, Justin Jefferson coming onto the scene. Adam Thielen averaged 9.2 targets per game from 2017 to 2018. He's averaged 6.3 targets per game this year. So Justin Jefferson making his mark, going to be a player we talk about for the next 10-plus years, I think.
Hopefully.
All right, we ready to move on to the Saturday matchups?
Yep.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 9-5, taking on the Detroit Lions, 5-9. The Buccaneers are 9.5-point favorites. It's a 53.5-point over-under. The situation right now in Detroit with the coaching staff, it's not good, and the wide receiver coach, Robert Prince, will be the interim head coach on Saturday. Now, Darrell Bevell was calling plays.
Right.
So now the wide receiver coach, Robert Prince, will be calling plays. Both teams have gotten it done through the air this year. Detroit has the 6th most passing yards. Matthew Stafford will be playing in this game. And then Tom Brady got it done last week. Jason started the week last week. And really, 2 yards away from a 4-touchdown, 400-yard game. Are we feeling very, very confident here? I mean, you know I am.
Yeah, I'm extremely confident in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the weapons, everything, everyone is in play here for them. Yes, the wide receiver roulette game you have to play. It's not, you know, it's not the sturdiest situation, but you know that there's going to be a bunch of production to go around. The storyline to me is, what type of a play call do the Detroit Lions go with? I mean, I imagine they script up, you know, as much as they possibly can. Like Bevell will give them a sheet and says, you know, please follow this as close as you possibly can to open the game. And because things had turned around, Matthew Stafford was going down the field. Over 20% of his throws are big time throws. Like last year when we saw Matthew Stafford really turn into a fantasy stud. So
that won't change here. I don't think it can.
I don't think it will, but I'm just saying that that's a variable now that is in play.
Yeah, I this is going to be a lopsided game. That's the way I see it. Coaching matters in the NFL, and this is going to be a unique experience. You remember when, you know, I would say quarterback matters in the NFL as well. Remember when there was a, you know, no quarterback for the...
When there was a wide receiver
playing
quarterback?
Here is the list of changes. The head coach, the offensive play caller, the defensive play caller, the defensive backs, the linebackers, and defensive line coaches all are totally different people. They put out an official tweet of, you know, Ty Warren, who is going to be the defensive line coach, who was the minority coaching assistant. I mean, everybody's in new roles this week.
Right.
Like, I don't know what that – we don't know what that looks like. We've never seen anything like it, but it does say start your Buccaneers. That's what it says to me.
Yeah, and this is a game, like you said, 9.5-point favorites. The Buccaneers are favored in this game. Detroit's defense has been atrocious. Having backup coaches is not going to help the defense. And Matthew Stafford, if anything, will be given more control over the offense because of that position. Marvin Jones, we're going to talk about him later. He has been heavily, heavily targeted over the last 4 to 5 weeks. Kenny Golladay will not play. Marvin Jones is a must start for me.
I'm with that. Yeah.
DeAndre Swift, 73% of the snaps last week. That's a career high. Tampa Bay is allowing the most running back receptions in the NFL. There is upside for DeAndre Swift this week.
Yeah, and speaking of heavily targeted, I mean, the dude just is automatic. It's five targets. You're going to get five targets.
Is that what he's done every week?
Yes. I mean, the last four games, it has been five targets. And he only has one game where he has fewer than four targets.
And it's really important in this matchup because while the Buccaneers do give up targets to the running back position, they are outstanding on the ground. You're not going to run easily against them. So it's nice that Swift's involvement in the air, that gives me the confidence to play him.
We'll talk more about Brady later. It's a great matchup. The Lions are awful across the board. Ronald Jones is not expected to play, which means Leonard Fournette interesting.
Is 100% in play.
Now, we found something out yesterday.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
I told you that my son mispronounced Leonard Fournette's name, and he called him Leonard Fournette. That's his brother.
Yeah.
That's his actual brother's name.
In real life, his brother who plays football.
For LSU, played for LSU. Yeah.
Leonard Fournette. Their parents named their children Leonard and Leonard.
Dude.
Okay.
I want
people keep the names close, man.
They did.
That's
and,
real
and now
close.
Now the joke is kind of dead.
Yeah,
because his brother's actual name is Leonard. So
yeah, but we thought we were insulting him. Like, oh, we said your name wrong. We were just calling him his brother. Like, ah, you're your little brother.
Yeah, got
which,
him.
That's a little bit of an insult.
Doesn't
to call
play in
someone
the NFL.
Their little brother.
Yeah, that's true. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. It's all about the matchup. If you have them, you have a reason to play them because of the matchup.
But how would you order them? I would order them Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin.
I would do it that way, too, just because of the big play for Antonio Brown. But if you want a floor play, Godwin's going to be safer.
Yeah.
I say that, and Godwin's put up, you know, an 81 overall week for 2 for 25 2 weeks ago against the great Minnesota matchup.
I still would go Evans, Godwin, Antonio.
Hockenson and Gronkowski are both startable tight ends this week without question. Hockenson had a down week last week. It was kind of came out of nowhere, but he's the tight end 3 for us this week.
Yeah. You know, everybody has a bad game, especially at tight end. Don't freak out from Hockenson. He's been solid on the year.
Yeah, I mean, we know the rule. Sometimes you get hockey leash.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get the hawk strap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same for Gronk. Gronk, it was a bad game, but...
Sometimes you get Gronky leash. Sometimes you get the Gronk strap.
Right, exactly.
But he did have 7 targets, and Brady was
end zone targets,
yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, drawing penalties and stuff. Just didn't go his way.
The San Francisco 49ers at 5-9 take on the Arizona Cardinals. Another Saturday game. Cardinals are 5-point favorites. It's a 49-point over-under. The Cardinals could technically clinch the division, or not the division, clinch a playoff spot if some things go right along with a win.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Kyler Murray.
The Bears would have to lose to the Jaguars.
Stranger Things. Last week, I don't know if you know this, the Jets beat the Rams last week, and the Bengals beat the Steelers last week.
That's fair.
All right, C.J. Beathard is going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk has been automatic.
Ayukin!
And I don't think that changes. They build the offense around one wide receiver very often. No Debo.
Yeah, and their involvement is not just down the field. They manufacture touches for these wide receivers. So,
495 receiving yards in his last five games.
Yeah, matchups don't matter to me. Who the quarterback is doesn't matter to me in that offense. Brandon Ayuk is an absolute must start.
If George Kittle is in, we talked about it yesterday, you're playing him over the majority of tight ends.
Mm-hmm. He would be my tight end four.
What if he sits again, though?
I wouldn't play him.
And Jordan Reed is the starter. C.J. Beathard loves a good tight end, and the options are they're not plentiful right now. Is Jordan Reed in streaming tight end consideration?
He is for me, but just because you know that the last couple of weeks he's scoring, and that's all you want in your streaming tight end is an opportunity that they score.
Yeah, it's fine, but I'm not gonna go Jordan Reed over any of the. I wouldn't go Jordan Reed over Jared Cook. We've seen more out of Jared Cook in the offense and his, you know, ability or a Noah Fant or guys like that. I'm going to play all of them over Jordan Reed.
I agree. Reed has not delivered on the any of the hope quite yet.
No.
To be fair, he's been forced to play with backup quarterbacks. I was excited when he was going to be with Jimmy Garoppolo.
The targets are not awful for him. Though, if you look back, since returning from the injury, you know, six.
Quantity, but maybe six. Not quality.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying you're trying to find volume at the tight end position, and he's essentially averaging five targets a game.
What about if you look across the field and Dan Arnold? Do you go Jordan Reed or Dan Arnold in that situation?
That is so rough.
Because Arnold is much more of a lower target volume.
But big play.
I mean, 3 for 54 last week.
I would go Reed there. You've got, I mean, I want my player playing more than, you know, 30-20% of the snaps. Dan Arnold's involvement isn't enough to me to where I feel like there's a baseline. There's a baseline with Reed.
All right. Circling back to the running back position, Jeff Wilson.
My name is Jeff.
Should be starting this game. We know Raheem Mostert's out for the rest of the year. Jeff Wilson, they seem to have a lot more trust in him than anybody else in this backfield. So, if he can stay healthy, this is a pretty interesting matchup. I'm going to give you some start sits, though, that have been coming through the website. Jeff Wilson or Lev Bell against Atlanta?
Jeff Wilson.
I'm Lev Bell there.
I am Levy on Bell
I am
there.
So 100% fine with Lev Bell there. They're identical because they both are being forced into opportunity and they both have some problems and baggage with them.
Jeff Wilson or Daryl Henderson?
Daryl Henderson for sure.
That would be Jeff for me.
J.D. McKissic or Jeff Wilson?
That decision's probably made for you with the Antonio Gibson. If Gibson plays, it's easily Jeff.
Right, but this game is earlier. You'd have to make that decision based on not having the Gibson news.
If Gibson is out, I'd rather play McKissic, I think.
All right. Oh, my gosh.
He did it again.
Oh, my gosh.
You old so-and-so. I hope that someday I remember that when we start talking about McKissic, I need to be fearful.
I'm afraid. I'll tell you that. Kenyon Drake was outsnapped by Chase Edmonds last week, 36-34.
Yeah, thanks, Kenyon Drake.
He got injured, if you remember. Missed a significant chunk of that game.
You're talking about Kenyon Drake?
Yes.
And Chase Edmonds hasn't practiced in the last couple days. So he's somebody that, you know, we're recording the show on Thursday morning. We're not going to be recording a show tomorrow. That's why this is a huge episode.
Santaladon.
So you will need to follow up on some of these reports tomorrow, especially with this game being a Saturday game. Is Chase Edmonds going to be active? It makes sense to me. He was limited in practice last week, played a full allotment of snaps. It's a Saturday game. Giving him an extra day of practice off heading into Saturday makes sense. I don't have a reason to believe he's going to be out this week. There was nothing on the field that made me think he was going to be out this week. So it'll be both of them. We have Drake at the RB18 this week. It's not a great week for Drake, but he's always a chance to score.
Yep. Yeah, I think running back 18 is perfect. He's a running back 2. This should be fine in your you know, as your secondary option, but it's not a great matchup, and he's got some health concerns.
The Miami Dolphins at 9-5, taking on the 7-7 Los Angeles or Las Vegas Raiders. Dolphins are 3-point favorites. It's a 48-point over under. Miami is currently in 7th, ahead of Baltimore. Vegas is 9th. Both teams love running the football. They'd love to run it 30 times against each other. Las Vegas has the highest rush rate when leading a game, although that'll be a difficult thing against Miami this week. I don't think that this is a super complicated matchup for fantasy purposes.
Sure.
Because I don't think Tua is really in consideration for championship week. Derek Carr certainly isn't against the great Dolphins defense. You know you're starting Josh Jacobs.
But
Mr. Grinch.
Oh, we got our first Grinch.
Is Jacobs your Grinch?
Josh Jacobs is my Grinch.
Oh, no.
Of the week.
You're a mean one.
Let me preface this. You are not sitting Josh Jacobs, but I am very concerned. Like we talk about Dalvin Cook, you know, the matchup says Dalvin Cook will probably be more outside of the top five, and you can't bench a running back with volume, but I am very concerned about Josh Jacobs.
Why you got to Grinch my guy on Christmas of all days?
Because over the last 8 games, Miami has given up points to one backfield, and that was that really fluky Denver game, if you remember. They're shutting everyone else down. Other than that Denver game, they have held team running backs outside of the top 15. The Dolphins are allowing the fewest points in the NFL. Did you guys realize that? That is how elite the Dolphins' defense has been. They're allowing only 18.4 points per game. They run a slow game. They're 25th in pace of play. And then we got a little game here. Do we want the drop?
I want the drop.
All right.
I want to play a game.
This game is called Josh Jacobs or James Conner.
Oh, brother.
This is unnecessary.
But it's fun.
Yes, it is. Let's hear it.
Josh Jacobs or James Conner, who has more rushing attempts?
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
It's Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's the setup for the rest of the stats.
It's by a wide margin. Okay, so 245 to 143. But who has more 15-yard runs? Josh Jacobs or James Conner?
I know that Josh Jacobs has had extremely few long runs, so I'm going to go James Conner.
Yeah, obviously.
It is James Conner. It is 9-6. All right. Top 20 performances. Josh Jacobs or James Conner?
That feels like it should be Jacobs.
Top 20. See, if you said top 10, I know it's Jacobs. Top 20, 20, you're trapping us. So I guess I'll go with stupid James Conner.
Jason?
I agree with the logic. I'll go James Conner.
Oh, it was a trap. They're actually tied at 7 apiece.
All right.
But, and how about this? We'll finish with this one. Yards per carry. Not the be-all, end-all, but it's still a fun stat to talk about.
Oh, I have no doubt that.
Oh, man. James Conner's been so bad, though.
Yeah.
But
he's had an equal amount of huge runs, and Jacobs gets the ball 37 times when they're up at the end of a game. And
that's fair.
I bet it's close, though.
It is James Conner at 4-3 and Josh Jacobs at 3.7.
This is what I said. It's unnecessary. No. Josh Jacobs is a much better runner.
Is he?
Yes.
He
definitively.
Is. He
yeah.
is.
But no, your point is well made. This is a difficult matchup.
Yeah.
The expectations, here's why it matters for fantasy. Josh Jacobs, you've locked and loaded him, and Mike's not saying sit him.
No.
But now you have an expectation. Now it determines how you play your flex position. You might need more upside. You might need bigger play. You can't go floor.
Exactly.
If you're staring down a stupid decision like I am in one league where I have to decide between Frank Gore and Ito Smith. Look, Gore is a 20 carry for 47 yard, maybe falls into the end zone once every 2 years player. Ito Smith, it's an invisible upside. We don't know what it is with no Todd Gurley involved. So I'm going to go, if I need upside, with the unknown as opposed to the floor, if I think Jacobs isn't going to give me a big game. So I love Myles Gaskin on the other side of the ball here. Coming off the COVID list, knowing the guaranteed workload's going to be there, knowing he's the guy. If it wasn't Gaskin, I loved Savon Ahmed. But I love Gaskin now that we know he's going to be
Gaskin's,
back.
He's just topped off with premium.
Yeah, no, he's ready to rumble. I love starting Myles Gaskin this week. The Las Vegas Raiders defense, they've been bad. Then they've been injured. They were down four starters last week, and now they're pretty much eliminated from the playoffs because of their loss. So you've got a team here that has something to play for in every way in the Dolphins, and a team now that is kind of let down from losing their what to play for game last week. I love the Dolphins in this matchup.
Now, we're sitting Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I just don't know that you could trust a wide receiver for Tua.
I agree. Oof. And he's been limited in practice too. Nelson Aguilar. Miami's cornerbacks are outstanding. I think Aguilar is probably a sit too.
Yeah. If you have any type of better option, I would not be going with Aguilar.
Gesicki's been limited.
Like Chad Hansen. Even if Kiki QT plays, I would rather play Chad Hansen over Aguilar.
Yeah, I would mbop there over Aguilar.
Mbop.
Darren Waller, yes. Mike Gesicki with the limited tag. Are you a little worried there? Or would you put him out there?
You're probably going to play him. He's been a top 10 tight end the last 3 weeks. So
the last three games.
The last three games.
Because he didn't play last
Correct.
Week.
Yes.
The Atlanta Falcons at 4-10 take on the 13-1 Kansas City Chiefs. Sometimes I just forget about their record. I assume they never lose, and it's pretty close to that. It was the Raiders, right? That was the one game this year.
That is correct.
They're 10.5-point favorites. It's a 54-point over-under. Kansas City has played in six straight one-score games. They've won them all.
Interesting.
Which means they haven't covered the spread very often. Imagine, 10.5 points. That's pretty big here for Atlanta. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce are your locks on that side of the ball.
Yep.
Lev Bell is going to see a lot of work. So I have confidence in Lev Bell as an RB2 this week.
Yeah, I have a little bit of confidence in the running back too. I mean, like, lower end running back too. How much projecting, Andy? What kind of opportunities are you thinking for Lev Bell? He saw 16 last
15
week.
15 to 20.
Okay.
Same general, Clyde went down in that game, and the tendency right now for Kansas City is to play Lev Bell early in the game anyway. So he was getting a lot of work to start each and every game. And then with Clyde's injury, he just finished with that. So I think 15 to 20 is right, which is great for a team like Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, if you can guarantee that he gets 15-plus touches for the Chiefs, then he is a good flex-worthy or an RB2 type of player. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that Kansas City has a far lopsided pass-to-run ratio in this game without Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The fact that the Falcons have been very good against running backs this year, stout on the ground, and a sieve in their secondary means why run the ball when we could just dink and dunk and throw deep and across the middle and everywhere we want against the Falcons. So I'm less confident that he's guaranteed for a massive workload, but if he gets it, I mean, that opportunity is king in fantasy.
I was curious what the pass attempts per game for Patrick Mahomes has been this year versus last year. And he's averaging four more pass attempts per game this year, 38 a game versus 34 last year.
Not enough.
Even more,
more
reliant on the pass game. What's funny is that you really can't play Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson despite that fact. Like, there isn't an option at the two.
It's really crazy. I mean, there's Kelce and Hill soak up everything. And honestly, for fantasy purposes, it's delightful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. They have no problem doing what you think that they should do on every play.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why I think maybe they'll just throw it more in this game, because it's like, yeah, but why would we waste time running it when we could just
on this,
this
play we
work.
Could throw to Tyreek or DeMarcus Robinson. What should we do?
Yeah, Tyreek every time. It's like they just do what works every time.
All right, here's the interesting storyline at running back for the Falcons. They've come out made a public pronouncement. Raheem Morris saying Todd Gurley's role's changed. Ito Smith is our guy. Ito Smith he's in consideration this week. As painful as that is to say, the last 4 weeks, he's been okay. 4.5 per carry, not a lot of opportunities, but this could be the week where the opportunities change and Kansas City's allowing the most running back receiving yards in football.
I hate Ito Smith. I've always thought he's not very talented, not as good as Brian Hill, who's not that great. And I'm terrified of him because sure. I'm playing in a championship against Kyle, our editor, where he just lost Savon Ahmed. And and this isn't a dynasty league. He was able to scoop up Ito Smith, and I don't want my comeuppance from Ito Smith.
You don't want to say that you lost to Ito Smith.
No, that would terrify me.
And he's still a risky play because you just don't know if the opportunities are going to shoot up or not.
Well, to me, it's not even just the opportunities. It's the what do they do at the goal line? Because that's what Todd Gurley's value was scoring touchdowns. And if Ito Smith is getting, you know, 20 opportunities between the 20s, then you have a Devin Singletary situation with a player who is not as good as Devin Singletary.
You're not wrong. He has one 5-zone attempt on the whole year.
Right. So if they just decide Brian Hill's going to be the guy who gets the carries inside the 5, you will be...
Brian Hill has 2 5-zone attempts on the year.
Gurley has a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. Saying I don't know who it's going to be, but just when you're making that decision of Ito Smith, you need to include that variable of you can't guarantee he is actually the goal line back.
It's tough because if you're making that decision on Ito Smith, you have lost Raheem Mostert, you have lost James Robinson, you have lost somebody,
everything.
And you've lost a little bit of your heart.
I mean, like Ito Smith is a smaller back. He is a sub 200-pound guy. Meanwhile, Brian Hill is a 220.
Russell Gage. Playing catch up here. Do you think Russell Gage is a good option? 8, 7, 10 targets the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been coming through a little bit.
Gage
more
or Mbop?
Ooh,
I'm a Gage on that one.
Yeah, I think I go Gage. I was
what
hesitant.
If Kiki's out?
What's that?
What if Kiki is out?
If Kiki is out, I will probably still play Gage.
Okay,
by a hair.
I mean, 91% of the snaps last week. That's his highest by far of the season.
It's funny because I think that's what Hanson's was last week too.
Bop.
And they're both not the number one option, even right. If QT is out. So,
where are you going on that one, Jay?
I would go. I think because it's so close, I would really enjoy Mbappen in the championship.
I see.
I'm going to go Mbop.
Yeah, Russell Gage, wide receiver 13, wide receiver 16 in the last 2 weeks. It will be interesting to see what happens in this game. Hayden Hurst actually scored last week. Is he an option?
No.
Okay. I would like us to definitively say no on as many tight ends as possible.
Okay. No.
Because
I'm out on Hurst.
I think it's more helpful because there's always a narrative street with a tight end on how mm-hmm. they could fall into the end zone. So the more we say no, the easier it will be for listeners.
Well, and in your championship week, you don't want to rely on a guy like Hurst.
No. It ends up...
He'll put you in one.
Oh, in a hearse. Yeah. Okay.
A Hurst.
He'll put you in a Hurst. I mean, it works. Let's move on.
The Cleveland Browns at 10-4, taking on the 1-13 New York Jets. Jets on a winning streak. Browns are 9.5-point favorites. It's a 47.5-point over-under. Baker has been on fire over the last month. Quarterback 12, 3, 2, 12. No reason that should stop this week. He is a great option. And he's been finding a way, and the team has been trusting him to make that big throw, and he's just been great. Confidence goes a long way, doesn't it? It
certainly does.
As does the weather that allows you to throw the ball. I mean, I know we've brought it up a lot, but
it's a big-time piece of the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield's season.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where he might have –
He had a lot of good weather last year and didn't look as good as he looked over the last 4 weeks.
I agree. Obviously, he had a very down year, but he's still young in his career. He might just be better than we thought to start the first half of this season.
Well, the most troubling part is what you actually wanted to see from the beginning that got disrupted by weather, which is no OBJ. Baker without Odell Beckham has been good Baker.
Yes. His rookie year,
yeah,
he was great. He gets Odell Beckham. Not so great.
It's crazy.
He's not good with him. Beckham goes out. Oh, Baker's back.
And where does confidence come from? Confidence comes from knowing that you have control over the offense and that you can throw the ball where you need to throw it, not, oh, crap, is he getting enough touches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Beckham moving forward.
So all of that said, all of the narratives on him, Baker is a good start this week. I mean, he was one of our streams of the week. He was absolutely in consideration for a start of the week. There are certainly quarterback options where I would choose to pick up and play Baker over this week against the Jets.
The Jets are the number one rushing defense in fantasy points given up over the last 6 weeks in football.
There's a reason for that. You're saying because the Jets are not allowing points to the running back?
Correct.
Yeah, because 31st to the quarterback, 30th to wide receivers, and 32nd against the tight end.
Yeah, it's just a funny stat when you look at those numbers and then you say, oh, maybe, you know, Nick Chubb, you start him. Kareem Hunt, you start him.
How you like my foot to your face.
Yeah. Frank Gore should have 20 carries. Would you play him over Ito Smith?
I probably would.
Yeah. I don't think I would.
Championship week.
I don't think I would. I don't want, you know, a guaranteed 8 or fewer points, and that's what I feel like
he
you
had
get.
15 last week.
I realize that, but you said he falls into the end zone, you know, once or twice a year.
That's correct.
He just did it. So I don't think it happens again, and the Browns have been pretty stout against the run. I don't want to rely on Frank Gore.
Good example would be like San Francisco, 21 carries in that game, 8 fantasy points.
Exactly.
Well pronounced. Jarvis Landry, great start. Rashard Higgins, you heard the taking it to 100 pick for Jason. Rashard Higgins, Russell Gage, who do you want?
Mm.
A lot of silence there.
That was a tough one. I'm going to go Rashard Higgins.
I'm going to go Gage.
I will lean Higgins. Austin Hooper.
I mean, there is no team as bad at tight end as the Jets, and I think Austin Hooper is a very good play. I know you want us to say no to some of these middling tight ends. I say yes.
He scares me.
I say yes to Hooper as well.
All right. Chris Herndon?
No.
Let's move on to starts.
Starts of the week.
All right, little break here between the matchups. Get into our starts for this week, and I'll kick it off with a quarterback we've already talked about, a matchup we've already talked about. I am going with my lock of the week, Tom Brady against the Detroit Lions, the single best matchup for quarterbacks in the NFL over the last 8 weeks. Huge over-under, 53.5 points. Stafford has the ability to keep up in this game. And look, Brady's hard to watch, Jason. Watching you watch Brady.
Even harder.
You watching Brady is a difficult thing. And last week, two wide receivers dragged down on the 1 yard line. He would have been the number one overall quarterback if they fall into the end zone after putting up 390 passing yards. So I love Brady this week.
I'm going to go. The Plant Man, I absolutely love this call. If you hadn't have done it, I would have, and I'm sure Mike would as well. Tom Brady's a smash play. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson is my start of the week. This is a championship week. Start your superstar players. The matchup isn't the best. The Bengals are not great, but you end up with low-scoring games, slower pace of play, low over-under. But it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm trusting Deshaun Watson. I trust him to be really, really good. He had back-to-back number one quarterback performances and then had to play Indianapolis, Chicago, Indianapolis again, tough defenses where he was still top 10, I believe, last week against Indianapolis. They can't run the ball, but they've started using David Johnson in the passing game. I think the entire offense runs through Deshaun Watson. I will trust him in my championship week.
And I'm going with the Rook. I'm taking Jalen Hurts against the Dallas Cowboys. It's all about the rushing, 18 for 106, 11 for 63. And the Dallas Cowboys on the season, it's kind of it's a middle-of-the-road matchup for quarterbacks. But then you look at what type of quarterback play has gotten it done against the Dallas Cowboys. Russell, the quarterback 2, Kyler, the quarterback 5, and Lamar, the quarterback 7. They clearly have a problem with mobile quarterbacks.
Also mortal.
Mortal quarterbacks. And
finish him.
And that's who Jalen Hurts is. And we've seen enough from the passing game, the arm for Jalen Hurts. He's willing to go downfield. I also think that I mean, we're not there, but I think Rager is kind of a sneaky start this week.
All right, at running back, I got this in early in the week before we knew whether it was going to be Savon Ahmed or Myles Gaskin. So it is Myles Gaskin, the starting running back for Miami, assuming it is Myles Gaskin, which we can fairly assume.
Yes.
Las Vegas bleeding out to the running back. You know, this is just a smash play. You have Miami running the ball with the amount that they run it, the way they control the game with their defense. We saw Ahmed come right back into the lineup and put up a monstrous game last week, and you have to start the Miami running back.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've just been so good. Whoever it is, if you can know who it is, you know that they're going to be very good, and we know it's the gas man this week. At running back, I'm going with Darnell Anderson.
Darnell Anderson.
Darnell, a.k.a. Daryl Henderson, my favorite nickname, because it's not against
Seattle.
How much
of it do you like that nickname just because Mike hates it?
I would say 50-50.
Okay.
Probably a large chunk. But look, Daryl Henderson was a solid running back. When Cam Akers went down in week two and didn't get back into real action until week eight, he was like 4% of snaps and some of those games where he was technically active. When it was Henderson's show, he was good. He was averaging 86 yards and three quarters of a touchdown per game. He was the running back 13 through that 6-week stretch. He had half of those games as an RB1. It's a slight plus matchup. The Seahawks aren't great or terrible, but usually they give up a little bit more. And if you're one of those teams that lost Mostert, lost CMC or Gibson, I'm not saying that Daryl Henderson is like a must start as my start of the week. I'm saying here's a guy that you can start, and I think he's going to be an absolute fine player this week. If you lost running back.
Would you say he's your start of the week?
Yes. I mean, I'm not going with like an Ito Smith.
Mighty fine start of the week.
My mighty fine start of the week. But I do think he's going to have a solid game.
Yeah, and Henderson might have been on your waiver wire this week. This player also may have been on your waiver wire. I'm going with Leonard Fournette. Big brother. Big brother Leonard Fournette. No Ronald Jones.
How's that feel? Leonard Fournette's your championship week start of the week. How's that feel?
It feels like fantasy football is what it feels like.
Yeah.
No Ronald Jones. That turned into 19 opportunities, including 5 carries in the red zone and 2 goal line carries. Andy already outlined why the matchup was great for Tom Brady. You know, the over-under, all that stuff carries over to Leonard Fournette as well. And over the last 8 weeks, not only have the Detroit Lions been terrible against the quarterback, they've also been terrible against the running back position. So Leonard Fournette is a strong running back to play for me this week.
All right, my wide receiver start of the week. Very excited about Marvin Jones Jr. I'm trying to look a little bit deeper here than the cream of the crop at the wide receiver position. Marvin Jones has been really, really good. And Tampa Bay has been struggling the last 4 weeks against opposing fantasy wide receivers. Look, Marvin Jones has 2 top 5 finishes in the last 3 weeks. Top 5 at the wide receiver position. He has 4 wide receiver 1 finishes in the last 8 weeks. Huge over-under. Stafford seems locked in on Marvin Jones. 12 targets 3 times in the last 4 weeks. And over the last 6 games, I just wanted to illustrate his pace. He's on 106 reception, 1,250-yard, 8 touchdown pace.
Mm.
If there was ever time for a Marv pick, you go Marv for Christmas.
Marvin.
Christmas Jones.
Yeah, and I'm going to the top. I'm going with Allen Robinson as a smash start this week. Despite the fact that he was the wide receiver 33 and 44 2 of the last 3 weeks, he's also been the wide receiver 4, the wide receiver 5 in 2 of his last 4. He has big games and he has disappeared. This one is going to be a monster game. The matchup is as good as it gets against Jacksonville. I think Mitchell Trubisky is not someone that I want to start in any kind of single quarterback league, but he's a good option. If you're in a 2 quarterback league, I would start him because I think Allen Robinson definitely gets a touchdown this week.
And I'm going with Manny Sanders. I like the matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. Michael Thomas again is out because he is on the injured reserve. Last week, 4 for 76 in that first game with Drew Brees. That's not amazing, but 4 for 76 for a waiver wire player, it's not terrible at all. And now you have an even better matchup against the Minnesota Vikings, and you have that second game back for Drew Brees to find his feet. I think that Manuel Sanders is in play.
Did you just call him Manuel?
Did I drop the E?
I thought you dropped the E.
Whatever.
You dropped Manny. The E. You drop the H for her. You're trying to be more efficient.
Man Sanders. Yeah, Man San.
All right. My tight end start of the week, I'm going back to Tyler Higbee this week against Seattle.
All right.
Seattle has struggled against the tight end position. They are the fifth best matchup over the last 5 weeks. Higbee has hit 80%+ of snaps for three straight weeks, had a touchdown, had his highest yardage mark of the year last year. He came on at the end of last season as well. Look, Cam Akers is going to be out. They were willing to give Cam Akers, 29 carries in a game. I think they're going to have to rely more on the passing attack in this one. As much as I like Darrell, I don't think they're going to give him the kind of workload that Cam Akers was getting, because Cam Akers was doing a lot with it. And you're looking for your best tight end chance or touchdown chance at tight end. And I think Higbee has a great shot at another one.
I'm going with Austin Hooper. I know you said, Andy, you were concerned. I am 100% not concerned with Austin Hooper. He had been banged up. He missed mm-hmm. 3 of 7 games.
He lost his appendix.
With 2 different injuries. He had the appendix injury. He also missed a game with a neck injury. And then before that were the weather games. So obviously he hasn't had a great season. Last week he was good. He was a top 10 guy, got a touchdown. But the matchup against the Jets is it's the best out there, but it's better than the best. Over the course of the season, they're giving up 3.6 more fantasy points than a team's average at tight end. The second best is a point less than that at 2.6 more than average. But over the last 5 weeks, they're giving up an extra 8.4 fantasy points per week against tight ends. They are an absolute sieve. Think about Higbee last week, got a touchdown against them. Disley got a touchdown the week prior. That was the team that
That's all I needed to hear.
Oh, Will Disley got a touchdown. Oh, I wish you could play the Jets every week. We'd have a lot more of those drops. You remember Darren Waller's big, ridiculous game?
I do.
That was against the Jets. Gesicki had his best game of the season the week right before that. Hunter Henry, I mean, this is like, yeah. If you're a tight end and you play the Jets, you have a monster game. So I would start Austin Hooper.
And I want to highlight Dallas Goedert's to go along with Jalen Hurts. It brings me great pain, because I am probably playing against him in the championship week, and I think that he is a fine play. Over the last 5 games, Dallas has not been a plus matchup for the tight end, but we have seen Dallas Goedert as the number one target so far for Jalen Hurts. Small sample size, I get it, but 21% of the targets are going to Dallas Goedert, and that's what you want at the position. You want the volume, and for a team to have the number one option right now being a tight end, I'm playing Dallas Goedert.
All right. That does it for our starts of the week. We do have, you know, a very important segment.
Mm-hmm. Jason Moore's Ironclad, Locked and Loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
Oh, this is the week. You're at war like it's the Gaza Strip. You know you need my man, Rodrigo Blankenship.
Like a good Gaza Strip reference.
We're bringing in geopolitical wars.
Apparently we are. Apparently. Brooks.
Jason.
I don't know how I felt about
Jason's
that.
Jason's face tells the tale. He was not happy with that one, but he did it anyways.
I felt seen, Mike.
Well, Mike, what else could possibly rhyme with the word ship?
Look, I had another good one, but you said it was inappropriate.
Rocket ship?
Oh,
no,
man.
No, we would have had to bleep whatever he said before. Brooks really likes a good Gaza Strip joke, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About time.
Straight from the papers.
Gaza Strip.
Fantasy forecast.
All right, don't go anywhere. I mean, we have 10 more matchups to get into. You guys ready to rumble?
I am ready. There's one I'm excited to get to.
I can't wait to find out which one. All right, the Indianapolis Colts are...
Is it this one?
...are 10-4.
Not this one.
Oh.
They're taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at 11-3. Colts are 2-point favorites. It's a 44.5-point over-under. That is low, and we know what's been going on. Pittsburgh's offense has struggled, and if you thought Drew Brees' end was there, you certainly thought it about Big Ben on Monday night. You're not. It's championship week. You're not going to take your shot with Big Ben here.
Correct.
No way.
I don't think you're going to take your shot with Philip Rivers either.
Not me. Not ever.
James Conner. You're not going to play James Conner.
Correct. If he even plays.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yes, please.
You're going to play Jonathan Taylor. I do want to highlight this. Jonathan Taylor, he's been great, right, the last 4 weeks or so. This has been the stats back this up. He wasn't good. Now he's good.
Yes.
If that makes
sense. It was just volume at the beginning of the year, and now he's getting volume, and he's playing well.
And you understand the system better, the scheme.
And the matchups have been better. Through the first 11 weeks, he forced 12 missed tackles. He was 92nd in football in yards after contact. In the last 4 weeks, he has 18 missed tackles and 10th in yards after contact.
There we go.
Huge jump.
There we go.
Maturation of Jonathan Taylor, trust by the team, better matchups. Everything's come together.
Yeah, the matchups do play a key role. It's a lot easier to break tackles, force missed tackles, and have yards after contact when you're not playing against the Steelers, when you're playing against teams like Detroit and Green Bay's run defense. This isn't a plus matchup, but the Steelers are very banged up right now.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with this matchup. I love Jonathan Taylor here, and the last gushing over JT here, JTT. You know, he's caught 35 of 38 targets. That's a fantastic number for any running back, and let alone Jonathan Taylor, who didn't profile as a pass catching running back.
Yeah, no, he's an excellent pass catcher. I saw that at the combine. I mean, you saw that whenever he had to catch a ball. It just wasn't the offense he was in college, and he's been productive with his receptions.
Very confident in Deontay Johnson this week. He was the go-to receiver last week, came through in a big way. The last 5 weeks, Indianapolis has given it up in the secondary. Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, Kiki QT, and Mbop, and Nelson Aguilar all had big weeks against this secondary. It's actually been pretty bad over the last 6 weeks in terms of fantasy points given up to quarterback, running back, tight end. This is where you have to make a little bit of a mental adjustment and not run away from that matchup for Deontay Johnson. And there is upside for Chase Claypool and Juju. There is the possibility that they get things figured out this week in a way that you wouldn't expect with what the matchup has looked like throughout the year.
Right. I would expect more that could be done for Claypool, just because I think he can make more on his own, on a deep play or even a handoff that he uses his incredible speed to get past people. I don't see big things for Juju.
Juju's going to stop dancing on the logos. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard.
So
that we did it. We solved the problem.
Yep.
The Pittsburgh, all of their problems were because Juju was dancing, disrespecting other people's logos.
Yeah. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton, he's at our wide receiver 30 on the week. So this is not T.Y. Houston.
No.
This is T.Y., what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, he's really one of those nebulous wide receivers where he's had a good run. He's had four solid games in a row. They were all plus matchups, though, and now you've got a difficult matchup. But he's been involved. He's looked good, and so he's someone that you can start. I think he's in that conversation like we were talking about earlier with the Russell Gages. Russell Gage in a better matchup or T.Y. Hilton here, Andy?
I'm going to go with Russell Gage.
I think I lean that way as well.
Yeah.
Let me blitz them real quick. Hilton or Juju?
Hilton.
Hilton.
Hollywood Brown or Hilton?
Ooh.
Hollywood's against the Giants. Bradbury, yeah. Bradbury should be back.
Bradbury doesn't.
I guess I'll go Hilton.
I guess it's Hilton.
QT?
If he's active, I would go QT.
Robbie Anderson?
Robbie.
All right. Eric Ebron has been limited, or actually didn't practice on Wednesday. Right. I'm not sure if he returned to a limited fashion today. No, he was held out of practice on Wednesday. That's the last report I have. Let's move on. The Bears, 7-7, taking on the 1-13 Jacksonville Trevor Lawrence's. The Bears are 7-point favorites. It's a 47-point over-under. Tell me what to do with Jacksonville, if anything.
Stay away.
Yeah.
James Robinson, I get it. He's saying he wants to play.
If he's active on game day, I have no problem playing him.
Really?
None.
If he misses the entire week of practice with that ankle injury and he starts,
I don't have a problem playing him, no.
Man, I have a big problem playing him. Jason, where are you?
I'm the Goldilocks here. I'm in the middle. I have a problem playing him, but I do think that if he is active, he's going to get the work. I don't think he'll be as effective because he's got an injured ankle. There's also the risk that we've seen with several players. Think about Raheem Mostert.
That's exactly why. That's my problem. It's not that if he plays, he's the starting running back, but an ankle problem, we see it all the time, limiting how effective a player is. They just keep getting knocked out.
I will give you an example of what I will do on Sunday.
All right.
If James Robinson is active and starting after what Doug Marrone said and what's on the line for Jacksonville, and I will put him out there over T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
I would put him out there over Robbie Anderson. Either one of those guys. For me, personally.
Okay. And I can see that. I think that's lower. At running back, you know, I would put him ahead of all the Wayne Gallmans, Devin Singletary's, Sony Michel's types.
Ito Smith, Frank Gore.
Yeah, I would put him ahead of them. But, you know, the other upper tier, and I would, you know, like Daryl Henderson. If I've got an option like that I think is just solid, I will go with what I think is a safer play.
Do you want to say any final words, Mike, to Gardner as his career comes to a close?
I don't think his career will be closed.
But he's meant a lot to you.
Oh, I love Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is good for the NFL. Unfortunately, Gardner Minshew is not good in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, so
short, concise, accurate.
Short like his shorts.
Yeah.
He wears short shorts.
Short jorts, Jason.
Oh, short jorts.
It's right there.
If James Robinson's out, are you tempted by Ogunbowale or Ezekiel?
No way.
No. No, thank you.
No. Say no to O.
Say
They're
no.
Playing the Bears.
Yeah. Well, the Bears have been better or worse than you think over the last 6 weeks.
The last 6 weeks on the season. And also, they're the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. Allen Robinson, yes, you are always starting Allen Robinson. David Montgomery, yes, he is going to win you your league. He had 32 carries last week. 32. He had for 146 yards. Jacksonville's allowing the third most rushing yards, fourth highest yards before contact, and he is cruising along.
Mm-hmm.
The David Montgomery on the field and Jonathan Taylor on the field story has really changed over the last few weeks.
It really has.
Yeah, the Bears offense has been better with Mitchell Trubisky, and David Montgomery has been a huge beneficiary of the threat of Mitchell's mobility.
I don't even know if Cordarrelle Patterson will be active in this game. Montgomery could push 30 again.
Very easily.
And they could win by 30. All right, the New York Giants, 5-9, taking on the 9-5 Baltimore Ravens.
Oh,
Ravens 11.
I know what that is.
11 point.
That's a palindrome.
Thank you, Jason.
We already had one earlier. I was really disappointed.
I missed it?
You did.
Oh,
what a loser.
Yeah, palindrome. All right, Ravens.
Yeah, I deserve that.
Minus 11. 45-point over-under. I think this matchup is very, very interesting because the Giants' defense has been good. Eighth against fantasy quarterbacks over the last 6 weeks. Second against fantasy wide receivers, lowering that Hollywood Brown hope. And what do you do and where do you slot in Lamar Jackson for championship week? I know he's your quarterback, Mike.
Yep. Yeah, he is a top five quarterback this week. Lamar Jackson is a different guy. I get that the Giants have been pretty stout in terms of their defense against fantasy quarterbacks, but the number that I like when I'm starting Lamar Jackson in the last 6 weeks, 23rd against tight ends. I don't really care about their wide receiver number because that's not his number one target.
Mark Andrews
is the number one target. So Lamar Jackson is fine. It really feels like they have figured some things out the last couple of weeks, including stop giving the ball to Mark Ingram. That is a positive thing for your football team. Lamar Jackson just looks far more comfortable on the field. He doesn't look as frazzled the last month. So I'm playing Lamar with full confidence in my championship week.
Lamar Jackson was almost my Grinch. He's not my full Grinch because he could he can obviously explode, but the New York Giants defense has not been good against quarterbacks. They've been great against quarterbacks recently. In the whole year, really. Yeah, I mean, they've been solid whole year, but the fantasy points above the opponent's average, if you look at that number over the last 5 weeks, it's outlandish. They are negative 12.7 points fewer than what that team's average is. That's what they've been giving up. And during that stretch, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, mobile quarterbacks. I mean, this is not a good matchup for Lamar Jackson, who has been better recently but mediocre on the year. And I don't think he's a lock to be a top five quarterback this week.
It feels like you two could possibly make some sort of water bet on Lamar Jackson this week, based on the confidence level of Mike and your lack of confidence.
All right. How about you said he's a top five? I'll go top eight, outside the top eight quarterbacks.
I'll take the top eight,
yeah. Water bet.
That's very generous for Jason.
I know.
You got nice odds there, Mike.
I would have taken seven.
Yeah.
But I would not have accepted six.
Okay. It's good to know that now. Andrews is a must start. J.K. Dobbins should see 15-plus touches. You know, it's not a smash top 12 type of week for him, I don't think, but I think he's very safe. Gus Edwards is a desperation play.
You got to be desperate. I'd rather play Chase Edmonds than Gus Edwards.
Wayne Gallman, after last week, do you have any possible way that you want to put him on out there?
It's really tough. I mean,
seeing a lot of Alfred Morris, seeing some Deion Lewis.
It's like he ran out of steam. He was, a top 24 back.
Jason, do you understand how tiring it is to fight crime at night and be an NFL player?
Yeah,
when does he even sleep?
Exactly.
That can work for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and then you run out, and
the opportunities are going down. The opportunities are going down for Wayne Gallman. I don't want to play him this week against Baltimore. Even though Baltimore is beat up, I'm not doing it. Can you flex anybody?
I don't,
on the New York side,
I don't think so. When I look,
well, let's not then.
Yeah, let's. I agree. No is the answer here because the quarterback situation is bad.
What about Pro Bowler Evan Ingram?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous that he's a Pro Bowler, or yes. Ridiculous playing him championship week.
But yes, and both. That is no. I mean, I'm not rolling with Evan Ingram personally.
The Cincinnati Bengals at 3-10-1 taking on the 4-10 Houston Texans. Texans are 8.5-point favorites. They have met with Marvin Lewis to interview for the head coaching role for Houston. Of course, I'm a Marvin Lewis fan.
Yeah.
Of course, you would think that. He did some good work at Arizona State after he left the NFL. Obviously, never got over the hump with Cincinnati, but also was never at the bottom of the pile. And I guess that's kind of where you're at with Marvin Lewis. I still prefer Marvin Jones over Marvin Lewis.
This week?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Jason brought up Deshaun Watson. I like Deshaun Watson more than I like Jalen Hurts this week, so I'm on board with Deshaun Watson. David Johnson, the wide receiver who plays running back for Houston, is a good start this week as well. We've kind of talked through a lot of these options on this team between starts of the week and then what's going on with Kiki QT and Hanson. So Brandon Cooks, this is a little ominous. Over the last five games, he's averaging 6.6 targets and 66.6 yards.
Uh-oh.
So be warned.
Those aren't the beastly numbers you're looking for. But he's still the number one target here, the number one option that I would play from. We're talking about, okay, we would play Kiki QT, we'd play Mbop, but those guys are behind Brandon Cooks.
Yes.
Brandon Cooks is the play, and I think, he could have a good week against Cincinnati, who gives up a good chunk of big plays.
They do. Third most 20-plus yard pass plays in football. On the other side, they're going to be without Tyler Boyd. He did not practice. He was concussed. I think he misses this week. That doesn't do much for you. Houston is a pretty bad defense. Gio Bernard is in consideration here after last week's performance, so I think he's a start right on the fringe running back 2-3 zone.
Yeah, and I think we should throw T. Higgins' name into the mix of, you know, we've been talking about a lot of players that you might take a shot on. The Texans' defense has been so bad, and while the quarterback plays terrible in Cincy, if Tyler Boyd is gone, you're just going to have 8, 9, 10-plus targets to T. Higgins, and I think he's a talented enough human to make something happen.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to play T. Higgins, but in a pinch.
Ryan, yeah, I don't know. Man.
Finley barely threw the ball.
Ryan Finley had 89 yards.
That's why there's no game line in Vegas for this one. Is because yesterday you're like, is there really much of a difference between Ryan Finley and Brandon Allen?
Yes.
And I think there's a very big difference. Ryan Finley is, it's like he's Daniel Jones without the ability to pass at all.
But they had the opportunity to play that way. And they were shutting down the Steelers, who everyone is shutting down the Steelers. I just don't think that
the
happens.
The opportunity
this week
to play that way? They had the only option was to play that way.
I mean, no.
Opportunity.
Ryan Finley has maxed out at 13 pass attempts this year. That I think that shuts it down. Brandon Allen threw the ball a lot, and they could let him throw the ball. So yeah. I think if Brandon Allen starts, I'm with you. I would even consider A.J. Green in that situation.
Brandon Allen is not
probable. I don't
probable
think he practiced
to start.
Yeah, he's not. So maybe then we... Why are we talking about Bengals starts on championship week?
I don't know.
Attempts for Brandon Allen, for what it's worth, 29, 19, 36. So running quarterback, passing quarterback. Anyone else? Let's move on. Denver, 5-9. Chargers, 5-9. Oh, man, who's going to get to 6 wins? I don't know. Chargers, 3-point favorites, 49-point over-under. Denver won in week 8, 31-30. So, big time week in terms of production points. Denver won on the KJ Hamler touchdown as time expired due to the Chargers failing to manage the clock, which is their kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pace of play wise, the Chargers are number one in plays per game. Denver's 8th in pace of play. That provides a lot of opportunity for fantasy. Justin Herbert, you guys are very confident in this week?
Yes.
Yeah. If I had Herbert,
would you play Herbert over Lamar?
I would play Herbert over Lamar, yes.
Okay.
Drew Lock still irresponsible?
Yeah, forever.
What's he getting for Christmas? Cole?
He'll probably spend way above his budget. Like, you know, he's not responsible.
He's
going to
max out
the
them
yeah.
credit cards for sure.
For himself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel nice. All right. So Herbert, confident. Austin Eckler, confident?
Oh, yeah, extremely confident. He's been targeted so heavily, and, you know, the matchup is great against the Broncos. They're 29th against the run over the last 6 weeks. Austin Eckler is, guaranteed in my lineup. Obviously, there's a little bit of worry from his utilization last week with the injury, and you're like, you wanted to see him more. But I haven't heard any negative things about, you know, his health right now, so I am personally confident.
Let me blow your mind for a second with the running back on the other side of the ball. Melvin Gordon, over the last 3 weeks, is a 6.7 per carry runner. Melvin Gordon is, over the last 3 weeks, a 1,386-10 running back pace. Melvin Gordon is somebody I'm actually afraid to be playing in championship week this week.
Afraid to be playing against.
To be playing against.
Yeah,
I think that is correct.
I think he is a good play. He's a solid option. And you know, we
and
talk
it's a
about,
revenge game.
I was going to say, we talk about, you know, stupid revenge narratives. But at the same time, he came to this team so that he could play against them
twice. I know,
twice.
And he sucked against them last time.
So now he needs what?
He's just on fire right
he
now.
He needs more revenge.
8.7 per carry, 5.2, 5.5.
He's looked good the last few weeks. I remember that touchdown run. I think it was this past week where it was just, you know, they were from the 6 or 7 yard line. They give him, I think it was like a draw, and he just smashed his way in. Gordon's been good.
He's had a good year. He really has. He's turned it around. He's the RB17 on the season, and he was the RB23 last year in Los Angeles, and he jumped up to 4.7 a carry on the year. So, interesting. Keenan Allen did not practice on Wednesday. Mike, stress check.
As long as he doesn't practice, the stress will be at zero because then I don't have to worry about it.
So, if he doesn't practice and he's active, you're not playing Keenan Allen?
Correct.
Okay.
But today, we don't have the report yet from today, but today and tomorrow are the really big ones. If If Keenan Allen practices in full, then you have a really, really tough decision to make. If he is limited in practice, I'm probably just going to pivot to someone else, like T.Y. Hilton's on my team.
I don't see a scenario myself where I would play Keenan Allen this week. But you brought it up. If he had full practices,
yeah,
then maybe. But I am not excited about it.
Yeah, what we saw last week,
because he could go out in one play.
Exactly.
But so that's where it's bizarre to me, that you're so confident in James Robinson, who is a running back with an ankle problem.
Sure.
But you're completely hands off of Keenan Allen.
Yeah, because he left early last week and didn't look good on the field last week.
Well, to be fair, he didn't leave early. He just didn't really play much. He was still there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we're debating at this point. It's a matter of Keenan has come out of games injured twice this year.
Sure.
Didn't look right to me.
Yeah, that was the other issue. It wasn't just when he wasn't on the field. When he was on the field, it was like, that's not a Keenan Allen route. That's like what I would do.
Yeah. And the James Robinson thing has to do with he's been extremely resilient and with high volume all year long and wasn't placed on IR, wasn't said that he has a high ankle sprain that's going to keep him out. And I don't think they have another option. So here
they got a Goomba Wale.
Like I said.
Yeah, for Keenan Allen, though, the game was on Thursday. So they had it was like the mini bye week, so to speak, for Keenan Allen. So my policy right now is if I see some full practices from Keenan Allen, and we'll see what the coaches are saying. If the coach says snap count again, I'm going to take him for his word this time and bail.
If Keenan is out, are you taking a shot on Tyron Johnson or Mike Williams? Or even Jalen Guyton?
I mean, I know Tyron Johnson, he had a big fantasy game, but it was on 5 targets. And I don't think so. I don't think
the problem is if you like Herbert no matter what, and Keenan is out, how does he produce? Hunter Henry out with an illness, it's not going to be all Henry. Maybe 50 yards is Henry.
Well, you could.
It's going to be Johnson, it's going to be Guyton.
Yeah, I mean, these guys will be involved. It'll also be Austin Eckler. Eckler will end up with, 100 receiving yards if he's out there. So I do think you could take a shot on Tyron Johnson. And on Mike Williams, who's, getting back from his own injury if he's out there.
Tim Patrick?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fine with Tim Patrick. I am. I'm not going to allow, a small sample to deviate. He is the number one wide receiver for this team. The matchup on the other side of the ball is not the scariest matchup. So I think Tim Patrick can be in your lineup.
Noah Fant. We say yes to Noah.
After 11 targets, 8 receptions, I think you have to.
Yeah, that was a whiff last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's real annoying. Because when you want him and believe in him, he's let you down, and then he has these breakout games and has high target totals. 11 targets is enough to – it's kind of like your Logan Thomas situation last week. You didn't have confidence, but then the targets came. And
mm-hmm.
All right, the Carolina Panthers at 4-10 take on the 6-8 Washington football team. Washington, 2.5-point favorites, 44.5-point over-under. Ron Rivera gets to reunite against Carolina in this game with a lot on the line. And we don't know if it's going to be Alex Smith, limited on Wednesday, or Dwayne Haskins, but...
Limited indefinitely.
Who?
Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, okay. I thought you were making...
Talent.
Being mean to Alex Smith. I was like, I won't stand for that.
Oh, no.
Teddy Bridgewater has not looked good. This team actually hasn't looked really good on offense for a little while. In fact,
what happened?
There's a player in this game.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Grinch.
A Grinch sighting.
There's a Grinch sighting. Mike Davis is Mike Grinch for this week. Mike Davis, yes, he's the RB10 on the year and had a great start to the season. But Washington is a tough, tough matchup. And only 2 running backs have caught more than 3 passes in a game against Washington this year. If you don't get Mike Davis in the end zone, you're going to be pretty, pretty disappointed. Obviously got in the end zone a couple weeks ago, made Jason sad. But from week 7 on, let me just illustrate a couple things here. From week 7 on, despite Mike Davis having a lot more snaps than Damian Harris has had more yards per game, more top 24 finishes, and the same amount of fantasy points as Mike Davis. It has slowed down tremendously, and I just don't trust him outside of RB3 range against Washington's defense, which is sixth against opposing fantasy running backs. So
I love it. I'm in.
You're in on the Grinch?
I'm in on the Grinch. I mean,
is that punitive?
There's got to be at least 10% punitive damages here, but the reality is the process.
It was your fault. It was not Mike Davis's fault.
It was Mike Davis didn't force himself
into the lineup, Mike.
Yeah, he needs
with the previous performance to just make it overwhelming for Jason to reject him.
Yeah, I Mike Davis gets a lot of his volume from the passing work. That's what's happened this year. And as Andy illustrated, that doesn't happen much against the Washington football team. So I'm out.
Pretty hesitant about the upside for all three wide receivers in Carolina, too, to be honest. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel. This feels like the same situation as Tampa's three wide receivers, only the matchup stinks and their matchup is Detroit.
Right. So opposite.
Right. Opposites. But where all three of them could absolutely, one of them could have a big game. Two of them could be okay. All three could stink.
Yeah, and I lean towards all three stinking because the Washington football team's been great and Teddy Bridgewater has not been really great. He's okay on yardage. He's throwing, 250, 280 the last several weeks.
Just doesn't look good.
But he doesn't look good. Their owner came out and literally said that, unless you have a quarterback that is, taking you to a Super Bowl, that position is always a position of need. When your owner says that, that's like writing is on the wall, Teddy. You are not our future.
And Robbie Anderson, I want to play somebody else. I really do. I don't want to play him this week. He is riding on the laurels of the beginning of the year. Weeks 1 through 5, he was the wide receiver 8. Since then, he's the wide receiver 39. That is a position that you can put a Russell Gage in or put somebody else in that you feel more confident in. I was burned by not doing it last week when I had my instincts told me sit him down.
Yep, and my only piece here for there is negativity, and I don't disagree with you guys, but DJ Moore is you have to play DJ Moore to me. There's no way I'm benching him.
Why?
Because DJ Moore the upside every single week DJ Moore has that. I'm saying like what. Okay, let's do some start sits then. Let's see how down you are on DJ Moore and the Panthers as a whole. So DJ Moore or let's see, Manuel Sanders against Minnesota.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, I'd probably go DJ Moore there.
DJ Moore or Cooper Kupp against Seattle.
Cooper Kupp.
Right, pretty even there. Yeah, okay.
And then DJ Moore or Antonio Brown?
I would go Antonio Brown.
I would play DJ Moore.
Okay. So he's in a lot of lineups.
I think, Jason, maybe a little lower than me. Terry McLaurin in this matchup or DJ Moore?
Wow. I think I would play DJ Moore.
Moore was 6 for 131. The point with Moore, I think, is that you're going to get bigger plays.
Right.
And if you're trying to find some optimism against Washington in a low over under, the bigger plays are going to matter. And DJ Moore seems to be coming down with those. So I would put him higher than the rest, for sure.
And I would take McLaurin there.
Yeah. I think I would take McLaurin there. I hope we get Alex Smith. I really do. Will we get Antonio Gibson? I still doubt it.
Are you playing him if he plays?
Against Carolina?
I would not.
Per not.
I'm just saying,
this game is rough.
It is. It's really tough decisions in this one.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how you expect this game to go, and I don't expect good things. I think I would take the under on this, a defensive, yucky offense type of game. So I don't really want pieces here. And I expect Dwayne Haskins to be the starter, which, we've talked about this. That hurts the Carolina side as well.
Oh, that was just for Haskins.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's just all three of us.
Logan Thomas, you're going to play him? Stay in the Flames?
And if you're for tight end, yes.
Okay. And then if Antonio Gibson's out, J.D. McKissick?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, is that Gibson's biggest
entry to this game is ruining J.D. McKissick's standalone value if Gibson is active.
Philadelphia Eagles, 4-9-1 against the 5-9 Dallas Cowboys. Eagles are 2-point favorites, 49.5-point over-under. A game of great intrigue to everybody because of Jalen Hurts. Because of the Jalen Hurts end-of-season storyline, mm-hmm. Mike is as on board with Jalen Hurts as a person can get, and I understand it. I am more hesitant. My hesitation would have cost me with Justin Herbert at the beginning of the year. I would have expected, you know, a down game here or there. This is a divisional matchup. The line is close. I mean, it's a 2-point line. It's a 49.5-point over under. And so I have no problem starting Jalen Hurts. I think you should start him. He's in the top seven or eight this week. But I still like some. If I'm going into this week, I like Deshaun Watson more. I like Tom Brady more. I like probably go Justin Herbert over Jalen Hurts as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the grouping that he's in. You haven't seen enough from him.
It would really hurt if he let you down.
What
it
you would. Saw was a number one 40-point fantasy week. So that recency bias is saying we know the upside is outlandishly high. He just got you to this matchup, so you're going to stay in the flames of last week. But I do think the expectations need to be adjusted. You're not going to have Kyler Murray throwing for 406 yards and a ton of touchdowns and have this crazy high-scoring game. That's not my expectation for this matchup because the Eagles' defense is good enough to slow down the Cowboys' offense.
Miles Sanders' confidence this week. He had 100% of the carries last week, 95% of the running back opportunities, and Dallas has been bad against running backs.
It's sky high for Miles.
That's got to be nice for you, Mike.
Yeah, it's
about time.
If you made it this far with Miles Sanders, it is a Christmas miracle to finally have a game where you actually feel confident playing him instead of just like, okay, I'm starting Miles Sanders again. Here we go.
Now, where I don't have any confidence is trying to wade through the wide receiver situation in Philadelphia. You mentioned some interest in Jalen Reagor. Look, Greg Ward has been heavily targeted. The tight ends have been heavily targeted. Alshon Jeffrey saw a bunch of targets that got pass interfered on last week. DeSean Jackson could be activated. Travis Fulgham's on the field. I think that's eight options if you include Miles Sanders, and that just doesn't give me any sort of confidence.
Right. I'm saying my Jalen Reagor confidence is I don't really want to start him in a regular league. I'm just saying he's a sneaky start that I'm paying attention to. Like maybe just you throw him in a DFS lineup.
On the other side, Amari Cooper, what happened last week? 1-for-5 against Philly in week 8, and then last week kind of disappeared.
Went down. The snaps went down. It was not what we had expected, not what we had come to get used to from, you know, Andy Dalton looking his way first. That being said, we've talked about this the whole year. Wide receivers are inconsistent. All wide receivers are inconsistent, except your Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams types. They have games where they have fewer targets. I still put Amari Cooper at the front of this group, and that's who I would start first.
Yeah, Michael Gallup might not even be out there, so that will really help the CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper situation. I think Dallas wins the game. I'm just going to say that.
All right.
So, the Rams, 9-5. The Seahawks, 10-4.
Oh, I guess real quick, if Zeke is active, how are you handling that? I mean,
it's a tough run, D, so I think I would put Zeke as middle to low end running back two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I play Melvin Gordon ahead of him, but he's certainly someone that you can and probably need to start if he is active.
Rams, Seahawks 1-point favorites, 47.5-point over under. NFC West at stake. My goodness, the Rams. That really hurt them to lose last week. It really hurt the Jets and it really hurt the Rams.
They should not have done that.
They should have tried to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rams did beat the Seahawks 23-16 in week 10. Look, Russell Wilson right now is a player that I don't think you can start.
I would agree.
There we go.
Russell
there we go.
Wilson is
your Grinch.
My
Russell
Grinch.
Wilson.
And we're going to play a game.
I want to play a game.
You must be so happy, Mike.
I like these games.
This game is called Russell Wilson or Andy Dalton. Russell yes. Wilson or Andy Dalton.
Yes.
Over the last 6 weeks, and keep in mind, Dalton only has 5 games in the last 6 weeks.
Did you just say 6 weeks?
Yes.
Ma.
I mean, you know, that's about what Dalton's got. Over the last 6 weeks, who has more fantasy points per game, Russell Wilson or Andy Dalton?
It has to be Russ, right?
No, put me on the – I don't care. Andy Dalton.
It is Andy yes! Dalton has more fantasy points yes! per game than Russell Wilson. Passing yards per game, Andy Dalton or Russell Wilson?
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, go Andy Dalton.
It's a tie. Oh, it's a tie. They're, okay. they're both throwing for 219.
Look, that's a win for Andy Dalton.
Yeah. How about this? Total passing touchdowns.
That's Andy Dalton.
Well, he only has 5 games.
Oh, no.
Russ has 6 games.
Oh, no.
Andy Dalton. No.
And it's Andy Dalton with 10 versus 9. That is correct. And the final one here.
What?
Quarterback rating on deep passes. Now, I'm going to give you the quarterback ratings.
Mr. Moonball.
Mr. Moonball. And you tell me which one goes to which guy. One of them is rated 62.6, which is the same as Mike Glennon. And one of them is rated 106. Who has 106?
Unlimited.
Yeah. It's Andy Dalton has 106 to Russell Wilson's 62.6. Now with his highest interception rate of his career, Mr. MVP, Mr. Moonball has not been good.
Yeah, you want to know what makes it troubling? He's not really good against pass rush, huh?
What's that Aaron Donald guy going to do?
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean,
Sean McVay averages 4 sacks on Russell Wilson when they play.
Personally?
Personally. He gets in the game, crushes Russ from behind. He never sees him coming.
The Broncos prove that we can do that.
But, yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's a sit to me. Like, I'm not starting Russell Wilson in my championship against
Unlimited.
These Rams.
Limited.
And that feels so weird to say.
Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield?
Baker, it was the perfect example. I would
play
Baker for sure.
What about this Ryan exact Tannehill? Game, Jared Goff?
Oh, man.
At that point, you got to play Russ, right? You got to hope you get the big game from Russ.
Right, exactly. We know what Russ can do. He can throw it to the moon and back into the arms of DK Metcalf. It is not impossible for him to have a good game. I would play him over Jared Goff. But when you're talking about, you know, all the top 10, top 12 options, I don't think Russ is in that. He doesn't belong there.
Well, and it's a trickle-down, you know, chicken or egg thing. DK Metcalf was the wide receiver 2 through the first 9 weeks. He is the wide receiver 23 over the last 5, averaging the same fantasy points per game as Russell Gage. That's where DK Metcalf is.
Oof.
So, and then Tyler Lockett is, I think, a sit.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly someone that you don't need to start. I've had so many questions online at jointhefoot.com that are pick out of these wide receiver groups, and Lockett has often been the bench, so he's not an automatic lock in your lineup.
Tyler Lockett or Hollywood Brown?
Neither have a good matchup, so I would go with Tyler Lockett there.
One of them's on fire.
I was going to say I'd probably go with the guy that's been producing over the last 4 weeks.
Sure.
Oh, but, I mean, it's close.
It's a good question.
And Tyler Lockett or DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
Ah, we did it. We did it, America.
Definitely.
Backed him into a corner.
All right, Darrell Henderson, the start of the week on the Rams side for Jason. He's the RB23 in our consensus rankings. Chris Carson is a start, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, I feel like the storyline for them every week is just, you keep playing their 2 pass-catching options.
That's right. You play both of those guys, and they can be fine.
You can, but, I mean.
Cooper Kupp has been an uninspiring wide receiver 23 on this season.
He's the wide receiver 23 because he had a week of 11 for 145. But,
yeah,
I mean.
And a 9 for 107. And
he's
not scoring. He's got 3 touchdowns.
Right.
That's what made his entire 2019 season relevant. He had 10 touchdowns last year. It's 3 this year.
I mean, Cooper Kupp on the season, unfortunately, it hasn't just been, well, he's been fine for you. He hasn't been what you wanted when you drafted him. He hasn't been last year, but he is actively hurting your team for the majority of the season.
Right, because he's locked in.
Yeah.
And Robert Woods has double the touchdowns that he has. And last year, Robert Woods had no touchdowns.
2020, man. Robert Woods.
Yeah. And then Tyler Higbee, I brought up. I like him as a tight end solution for your team this week. I think my friend across the desk might be playing him this week. I don't know.
I don't know because I do like Tyler Higbee. I agree with you. The matchup is there. The Seahawks the last 6 weeks, 26th against fantasy wide receivers. But I also really agree with Jason on Austin Hooper that we were talking about it, that the Jets feel like last year's Arizona Cardinals, where it didn't – eventually you got to the point of you just trust the process. It doesn't matter who's playing the Cardinals. I mean, that's where Will Disley became a household name in fantasy football because he played against the Cardinals. So it's a tough
call.
It's a really, really tough call. But it's down. But it's my tight end streaming position is between those two guys,
Higbee and Hooper.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it.
And then it at, in the end, it'll be Harrison Bryant who you should start it,
or Gerald Everett.
Yeah, one of those two guys.
Yeah, I look if I can handle it being Harrison Bryant, but. Ugh.
All right, the Tennessee Titans at 10-4 take on the Green Bay Packers at 11-3. Packers are 3.5 point favorites. It's a beautiful, wonderful 56-point over-under in this game. That puts an implied point total of almost 30 for the Packers, 26 for the Titans. Delicious.
Yeah,
this is what you want for fantasy football championship week.
I wanted Ryan Tannehill to be my quarterback start of the week. I was a little bit worried about the weather. That's why I went with Deshaun Watson. It's going to be very cold. It's in the 20s, supposed to feel like teens. And that doesn't usually affect fantasy production that much, cold weather, unless it drops well below freezing. Historically, Aaron Rodgers has the same exact career average in bad weather as he does in good weather. This is a Lambeau Rodgers game. It's obviously cold season for the Yeti. This is a Derrick Henry.
Was he Derrick the abominable snowman this week?
I think he
is
might.
Is that more formidable than a Yeti?
That's the king of the Yetis.
Well, they're
really?
Yeah,
I thought that they were kind of synonyms.
They are. But the Yeti is a forest-dwelling Bigfoot.
Really?
Abominable snowman is a mountain-dwelling Yeti.
And this has been fact-checked by our team of experts?
Look, I am a certified...
He said it so confidently. Yeah, I think it has to be true.
And which one's the Loch Ness Monster?
That is a completely different type of animal.
Okay. Look, and Bigfoot is not a Yeti?
Bigfoot is a Yeti.
Is he?
Yes.
Not Yeti.
Bigfoot's like his surname.
No.
No, sorry. Look, I liked it, but I was already talking. And...
No, it's fine. We don't need... I mean, this is a long show. The Santa LaDon. At this point, it's just us three. But there's no one here.
Derrick Henry should...
Say what you want.
Whatever creature he turns into... will score a ton of fantasy points. That creature will be great. The matchup is awesome. The weather is perfect for him. I expect monstrous things for Derrick Henry. And I do think Ryan Tannehill will be good, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. I'm going to start almost all of these pieces.
Yeah, let's hope A.J. Brown can do more over against Jair Alexander than Robbie Anderson did last week. Aaron Rodgers is a must-start this week. Tennessee on the road, bad defense against opposing fantasy quarterbacks. Davante Adams, you know, we were so disappointed in his 11 or 12 fantasy points last week. I'm expecting big things this week. And I think Aaron Jones is a great start as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Robert Tonyan is a great tight end.
TD Tonyan.
According to one producer.
TD Tonyan. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there is any questionable asset. On either side of the ball that is regularly started in fantasy
Corey
that
Davis.
I'm going to sit. Like, Corey Davis is absolutely in my lineup. Mm-hmm. I'd take him over all the T.Y. Hilton groupings.
It's amazing we've gotten to the point where that sentence came out of your mouth. Corey Davis is absolutely in my lineup.
Well, and you expect...
Bash Jason Moore,
you
2020.
You expect Jair Alexander. I expect him to be more on A.J. Brown.
Yeah, watching last week, you know, it's just a matter of I think he lines up on one side of the field. And if they move, they were flipping Robbie. Robbie was not always on Jair last week. It was Teddy Bridgewater issues, too. All right. It is amazing, though, what Tennessee can do. They can run, 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 run. And then that play action, it's like a play action supercharged play action.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that's like
they
unlocking
charge
a,
it by running.
Yes, every run, and then when they use it, the defense is like
all at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, it's all 12. It's like a goal line defense, and then all of a sudden
they have no choice.
You do not have a choice. Derrick Henry is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Monday Night Football game is the Buffalo Bills at 11-3 against the New England Patriots. Yada, yada. That's a game. All right, we're moving on.
I do not want to talk about this game. I do not want to talk about Josh Allen. The more that I have looked into...
Yeah, we've been talking, right?
Yeah. I've dug so deep because this matters.
You were very confident at the beginning of the week.
And I am super less confident
you
now.
You were, dare I say, insulting to my good friend Andy Holloway.
If I had Josh Allen and I had Tom Brady, I would play Tom Brady.
What?
Yeah. Now,
oh man,
don't.
Now the turns have tabled.
Don't hear what I'm not saying. Josh Allen is not a bench. Josh Allen is not someone that I'm saying you
Josh
need
Allen
to,
or Lamar Jackson.
I would take Josh Allen. Okay. I would take the fire that he's been all in. Right. And
not the fire that Lamar Jackson has been in.
One has been a lot longer and more frequent this year than the other. So yeah, I'll take the instead of the brush fire, I'm taking the forest fire.
If I'm repeating myself, I apologize. I think it was said on the Footcast yesterday. So I will say why I want to play Tom Brady over Josh Allen. I'm with Jason. I do not believe Josh Allen is a Grinch. He is not a bust. He will not score 40 against the Patriots this week. I want a shot at 40. I need a championship winner at the position. I think Josh Allen will do exactly what he did against a formidable Pittsburgh defense that was healthy earlier in the year, which is 20 to 24 points. I think you will get that against New England this week, but I do not believe you're going to get a scorched earth. The only way you can make that argument, you can't look backwards at all of his games against New England. You can only do it narrative-based. You can say, well, the Patriots are eliminated, and this is the first time they've been eliminated. And the Patriots, their defense, no Stephon Gilmore, they're going to disintegrate. Well, look, Bill Belichick's career has not been made on Stephon Gilmore on defense. It's been made on scheming and planning for what the opposing team is bringing in to the game. Look, you can go narrative street. He's been on fire. Josh Allen will just continue to do it, and it can 100% happen. I am just looking for 40.
Yeah, the big game is the issue. I think the baseline is actually still safe with Josh Allen. I don't think you're going to go out there and have him score 10 points. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that his opportunity to go out and win your championship matchup, the way that he has gotten you there so many times, single-handedly winning the week for you, I doubt it happens this week. And my fantasy points allowed above opponents' average metric, the New England Patriots are the worst matchup in the league, averaging 4 points fewer than the opponent's average.
I am looking forward to this game. I would love, as somebody who picked Josh Allen to be the NFL MVP and Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl before the year, this would be quite the exclamation point on their division championship. They are 7-point favorites. It's a 46-point over-under. Buffalo won 24-21 in Week 8. It's going to be a fun, fun game.
Yeah, and this is the Patriots' Super Bowl. Because they're out.
It is.
They're out of the playoffs.
And it's a divisional.
They have nothing else to do here except make the Buffalo Bills doubt themselves.
It feels like you're going to take this division title from our cold dead hands situation. Speaking of cold dead hands, I'm not starting any Patriots outside of a glance Damian Harris's way.
Booty drooping?
Oh, no. Booty pooping.
Yeah.
I mean, are you glancing Damian Harris's direction?
No.
Okay, so can we just not talk about them?
No. Is Damian
We've talked about
gonna,
them a lot over the last 20
is
years.
Is Damian Harris going to play?
He is questionable at this point, and Sony Michel is back getting, 10 carries or so.
I thought you were going to say the only questionable name worth glancing at is Sony, because I don't expect Damian Harris to be active. But no, I'm not glancing anybody's direction.
If Damian Harris is out, then I'm willing to, peek over the wall at Sony Michel.
With that level of confidence.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is supposed to be back out there. Obviously, that's huge, and you can't sit Diggs. I mean, that's just not an option for your team. Cole Beasley.
If you had Diggs,
on your team and you had Brady and Josh Allen, would you roll the Diggs Josh Allen stack?
Wow. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a stack, and with Gilmore out.
I would probably, because it would have been, you know, two Bills carrying me all the way there at that point in time, and how do you
go core of your
how do you
team.
Go away from that? It's the core of your team. You just still, mentally speaking.
You still in on Beasley if John Brown is out?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been so good. Already set a career high in receptions, receiving yards, yards per reception, two games to go. I mean, Josh Allen is dissecting in defenses, and
I hope he scorches earth here and has I hope he proves us wrong that you can't have a 40-point game against the Patriots. I really do. I'm going to root for a clobbering.
Well, I was going to say, my anti-tilt, lock it in the beginning of the week strategy works a lot better when you slowly get on board over the course of the whole week.
Right.
That has helped me. Had you been so against it right now, you could, you know, might not be working. Mike, do you want to weigh in on your thoughts of the Josh Allen game at all?
1,000% I'm playing Josh Allen over Tom Brady.
Yes. I can't tell if you're telling the truth or not.
I would play Tom Brady over Josh Allen.
Good, because he's in my lineup right
now. No, you locked him in. You're not wavering.
We have Foot Clan Game Day alerts at jointhefoot.com. Sunday Live, 1 hour before kickoff. Are you returning this week, Mike? Are you back for Sunday Live?
I believe I am back this week.
Jason battled through an eyelash for most of Sunday Live.
I know. Part of a champion.
I tuned in. I saw it. It was incredible.
It was pretty watering.
It was pretty gruesome. We should have had a warning label.
Gratuitous content?
Right.
Okay.
Not for children.
We have another segment.
Prop It Like It's Hot. Presented by Monkey Knife Fight.
All righty. Our favorite Week 16 props from Monkey Knife Fight. You can partake with us at ballerspicks.com. Use the code BALLERS. I recommend you do. Mm-hmm. My prop this week, Dalvin Cook. The line is set at 86.5 rushing yards against New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am smashing the more button.
Okay. I like it.
Dalvin has been over that. Thank me for as well. Look, we need Dalvin, Mike. Let's hold hands. We need him. This is not just wishful thinking, though. Dalvin has been over that 86.5 rushing yard mark 7 out of the last 8 weeks. It's in the DNA of the team to feed him. He's going to break a big play or 5. 86.5. I'm not worried about it.
Mm. All right. I'm going. I'm doubling down on my Grinch.
Mr. Grinch.
Josh Jacobs, the line when I was going through the props, 72.5 rushing yards. I will take the less. He, in fact, averages only 70 yards per game. And in his last 8 games, he has only surpassed 72.5 rushing yards 3 times. The Miami defense is legit. I'm taking the less.
It's a pretty good prop.
And for me, Lamar Jackson, Mr. On Fire, he has a line of 215.5 passing yards. It might not surprise you based on what I said in the matchup. I am taking less than 215. He's only had more than 215 3 times on the season.
And we don't care if he has that.
Right.
That's for fantasy, for Lamar.
He's going to rush. These are straight-up passing yards. Right. The New York Giants passing defense has been absolutely fantastic. This is a mark that Lamar doesn't usually hit anyways. I'm taking less than 215.
All right, ballerspicks.com. Use the code BALLERS. Get that deposit match over there if you want to play any of their prop games at ballerspicks.com. We also want to thank Pristine Auction as we close out this Santa LaDon Megala show, whatever you want to call it. Heading into the holiday season, please check them out. Calvin Ridley signed jersey, $83 yesterday. And our Christmas giveaway video, it's still up on YouTube. There's still time to enter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. So you can win some stuff. Yeah. PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. You get a $10 credit. You guys have any parting words heading into this holiday weekend?
Merry Christmas.
Yes. And I'll say, whatever holiday you are celebrating, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's been a weird year, but I'm really looking forward to it. The kids are so excited, and I'm excited for Dalvin Cook. Come on.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Stay safe, everybody.
Good luck, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com.
and follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers.